before you drink. What you get isn't always what you think.
Beers of Alaska, beer on the last frontier. Beers of Alaska, learn about them here.
Well, don't settle for the first, for it might be the worst.
Hello and welcome to Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell, on KDLL 91.9, listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. As always, thanks to Recess Duty for playing us in with our theme song. We got a lot of exciting interviews and stories this month, but let's get started, as always, with beer news. On July 5th, Governor Dunleavy signed Senate Bill 16, which expanded license types under Title IV of the state's alcohol license laws. This bill allows alcohol service in areas that had previously operated under a recreational site license before the Alcohol Beverage Control Board denied licenses they deemed to be operating contrary to state law. The Alaska State Fair, the Alaska Center for Performing Arts, and concerts can once again be licensed by the ABC Board. Quote, this bill allows local businesses and nonprofits to provide service to Alaskan patrons while operating as they have for many years. Protecting small businesses that support a vibrant community plays a large role in keeping Alaska open for business. I thank Senator Michicki and the legislature for swift action on this issue, said Governor Dunleavy. Senator Pete Michicki said, the spirit of this bill is about supporting small businesses and existing high-quality operators. Part of what funds the state fair and keeps ticket prices affordable are alcohol sales, which also help fund fair entertainment and great youth organizations like 4-H. Senate Bill 16 will ensure Alaskans can continue to enjoy the state fair as they have for nearly 40 years. This bill is part of a larger effort to modernize and reform our state's alcohol laws, but this specific issue required immediate action to assist small, responsibly operated businesses in their continued operation. End quote. After being on the market for over a year, award-winning Cassock's Brewery has reduced its asking price from $1.4 million to $950,000. The brewery has been in operation for 13 years, and the sale would include the 4,900-square-foot brewery, an 1,800-square-foot home, 4.5 acres, and all equipment, product names, labels, recipes, and artwork. On Sunday, August 11th, the second annual Brewery to Bathroom 0.5K, and no, that decimal isn't a typo, The Race for the Rest of Us will be held in Soldotna. This is a fundraiser for the American Cancer Society Relay for Life of the Kenai Peninsula. This is the race for you non-racers out there. Registration will begin at 11 a.m. at the Kenai River Brewing parking lot. The race begins at 11:30 a.m. and will go from Kenai River Brewing to the Soldotna Creek Park bathrooms and back. There will be refueling stations and rest breaks throughout the 0.31-mile course. The after party will be held at Kenai River Brewing at approximately noon. A $20 donation per individual is requested for registration, or a $50 donation for a family registration, 2 adults, 2 children, and then $5 each for each additional child. A $30 donation will secure you a couch-to-couch registration, stay home and get the swag in the mail for the ultimate lazy race experience. Construction on the new brewery for Cooper Landing Brewing Company continues. Earlier this month, the newly framed walls began going up. Target completion date is still late spring of next year. There's a new brew pub in Fairbanks. The Midnight Mine Brewing Company opened this month at 308 Wendell Avenue. The brew pub's initial releases on July 22nd consisted of 3 beers. Carbon Atom, an East Coast pale ale with Citra and Mosaic hops at 5.2% alcohol by volume and 250 IBUs of bitterness. Confection Stout, a milk stout aged on coconut, cacao nibs, vanilla beans, and hazelnut at 4.7% alcohol by volume and 15 IBUs. And Refract, a crisp American blonde ale at 5.2% alcohol by volume and 10 IBUs. 49th State Brewing will be hosting its annual Oktoberfest in Healy on August 9th and 10th. The event features two evenings of live music as well as other contests. Tickets are available on myalaskatix.com. Kenai Joe's Tap House opened under new ownership on July 1st. As we heard on our May show, later this year, the new owners intend to add a full kitchen. Tickets are still on sale for the 9th annual Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival, which will take place from 5 to 9 p.m. on Saturday, August 10th, at the Soldotna Regional Sports Complex. From 5 to 6 p.m. is the Connoisseur Hour, which will be limited to 200 participants. This hour will feature at least one special beer from each brewery, unlimited samples, a commemorative glass, admission into the general festival, and 8 4-ounce sample tokens for the general admission festival. Connoisseur tickets are $75. The general admission session will run from 6 to 9 p.m. $50 general admission tickets will include a glass and 8 4-ounce sample tickets. Additional sample tokens may be purchased at the event, 2 samples for $5 or 10 for $20. The festival has also announced that the Young Dubliners will perform live from 8 p.m. until the close of the festival. Go to www.kenaibeerfest.com for tickets and more details. There will also be more information about the festival later in the show when I interview organizer Matt Bahala. That's it for beer news. We'll be right back with our first feature segment here on KDLL 91.9 FM Kenai Soldotna.
Every year is a good year for jazz. Whether it's the Duke or Ella or someone newer to the scene, you'll find all your jazz favorites on A Good Year for Jazz with your host, Nathan. Each week, travel the calendar back to 1945, 59, or even 2015 to hear what was happening in the world of jazz. I'll meet you right here Monday night, 7 to 9, on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna.
Hello and welcome back to Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell, here on 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. In our first feature segment this month, I'd like to talk about children and breweries. It's summertime on the Kenai and the Reds are running. This makes it the prime season for visitors from outside, and the Howell Homestead is no exception. In a little over a week, my daughter, son-in-law, and grandkids will all be in town. My grandson is almost 6, while my granddaughter just turned 4. So for a week, I'll be living in the world of married with grandchildren. For that week, when we go out, we'll have to consider something my wife and I usually don't have to worry about. How kid-friendly is our destination? In the wider craft beer world, that's also been a matter of much recent debate. Whether or not children belong in breweries is one of the most divisive issues facing America's craft brewers, presenting an unexpectedly thorny concern for new taprooms. New brewery owners spend their time securing equipment, passing inspections, and dialing in recipes. But when the doors finally open, they quickly learn that not all their customers want the same thing. Some expect a quiet place in which to ponder their pints. Others anticipate a convivial atmosphere where they can down beers with friends, while still others desire a place for spending time with their families, including their kids. Cue the fight song. Online review sites like Yelp tell the story. Half of the commentators complain about the presence of kids, while the rest complain about any restrictions on children. This no-win situation is a veritable minefield of consumer wrath waiting to happen, as everyone brings their preconceived notions of what a brewery should be. I've got my own notions in that regard, like everyone else. When I was a young lad, my father would bring little me to bars in New Orleans where I'd spend time sitting on the brass foot rail of the bar or playing the shuffleboard-style bowling machine while he drank with his friends after work. Based on my past, I have a built-in affinity for welcoming kids into drinking establishments. But then again, the 60s and 70s in New Orleans were very different from 2019 Alaska. The law in Alaska makes it quite plain that admitting underage individuals to a licensed premises is solely at the discretion of the license holder. Quote, persons under the age of 21 may not enter or remain on licensed premises unless accompanied by a parent, legal guardian, or spouse over the age of 21 years. Notwithstanding this rule, licensees may exclude underage persons from licensed premises at any time. End quote. The requirement to be accompanied by a parent or guardian can be relaxed for businesses the board has designated as bona fide restaurants, which would exclude most brewery tap rooms. But even then, the licensee's power to exclude the underage remains absolute. Oddly enough, while an underage person cannot even enter a licensed premises without a parent, legal guardian, or spouse over the age of 21, it is legal in Alaska for them to possess and consume alcoholic beverages so long as they do not do so on a licensed premises, and the alcoholic beverage is provided by a parent, legal guardian, or spouse who is over 21. So if you want to feed your 10-year-old a steady stream of rum and cokes in your home, the Alcohol Beverage Control Board is fine with that, even if Child Protective Services is not. Go figure. All this puts your typical brewery owner in a bit of a dilemma. Do they try to be family-friendly with lots of high chairs, booster seats, coloring books, and kids' games, and risk losing the business of adult patrons who want to consume an adult beverage without the noise and distractions of children? Or do they bar families and risk losing customers who would like to have a drink or two and see no reason why their children should not be with them when they do it? I reached out to Doug Hoag, the owner of Kenai River Brewing, to ask his thoughts on this subject. He replied, "We built our business around community, and families are a big part of that. We encourage families to come to the brewery, visit, and socialize. I love seeing families with children coming to the brewery and enjoying times together in a social setting." Most other breweries in Alaska seem to have a similar approach, but many outside do not. Americans have long had an unhealthy public relationship with alcohol, one we are all too quick to pass down to our children. Instead of making it a part of the common community experience, we hide alcohol away. I don't agree that drinking should be relegated to clandestine dens of iniquity. When it was my turn to be a parent, I tried my best to instill a healthy relationship with alcohol in my daughter. I was especially fortunate that my naval service took me to Britain just as my daughter was graduating high school, so she decided to delay college for a year and live and work in Britain with us. During that year, she was able to drink legally and gain a fair amount of personal experience with alcohol in the traditional British pub culture rather than the much less healthy American bar scene. At the end of that year, when she headed back to the States to start college, I could be confident that she was unlikely to get into trouble by misusing alcohol. Nor did she. It's my fervent hope that she will bring up my grandchildren with the same philosophy, that there's nothing wrong with consuming alcohol as long as it's something you know how to do responsibly. With all that said, I also grew up at a time when you didn't expect anyone else to parent your kid. If I got out of line, I was quickly set straight by my own parents. I did my best to follow the same road map with my daughter. That rule of etiquette remains eternal. No one else should be expected to parent for you. Not the wait staff, not the other patrons, no one. Your kid, your responsibility. Tap rooms aren't free daycare. Expect to be called out for it or asked to leave. If parents follow these rules of good neighborship, kids really shouldn't negatively impact another person's experience, whether in a brewery tap room or anywhere else in public. I also have no problem with reasonable time and place restriction on kids, including adult-only hours in the evening and even prohibitions on children at beer festivals. The owners and festival organizers get to set the rules for their establishments. If you don't like them, do your drinking elsewhere. Beer is personal for so many of us, and brewery visits have been a part of our collective experiences for quite some time. So for enthusiasts, it seems only natural that we want to take our kids along. Not everyone likes kids, and that's okay. But when we choose to go out and drink in bars, we willingly cede the personal bubble that is our home and agree to interact with the public. We don't get to set the terms of whom else establishment serves, and that's good. We shouldn't live lives sheltered from one another. Luckily, most of our local brewing establishments are pretty kid-friendly, so when my grandkids are in town, we'll still be able to visit them. However, the Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival is strictly adult-only event. So Grandma's going to watch them while my daughter, son-in-law, and I attend. If you see me there, feel free to come up and tell me where you stand on the kids and breweries question. We'll be right back with our next segment here on Drinking on the Last Frontier, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna.
Shaylin Cochran here, reporter and host at KDLL. You know, one of the things I like most about public radio is the time we get just to learn, explore, and talk. Join us Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. to be a part of the Kenai Conversation, 60 minutes dedicated to learning, exploring, and talking right here on KDLL 91.9 FM Kenai Soldotna, public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula.
Hello and welcome back to Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell, here on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. Up next, we've got an interview with Matt Pahala of the Soldotna Rotary and the organizer behind the Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival. Hey, Matt, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm really well, Bill.
Thank you for taking the time out to talk to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, the Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival, it's that time again. Every August, we get to have a wonderful time here on the peninsula. So, for any of our listeners out there who might not be familiar with it, you want to give them a thumbnail sketch of it?
Sure. Well, it's going to be August 10th. That's the second Saturday in August. And the festival, we have a connoisseur hour that starts at 5. So, from 5 to 6. That's limited to 200 tickets. And in that time, with a smaller number of people there, gives people an opportunity to have a little bit more time and availability to talk with the brewers and ask questions and get their, you know, pick their brains a little bit about brewing and what's coming up in the breweries and what's new. And then right after that, from 6 till 9, is the general admission session. And during that time, we'll have two bands playing, Juno Smile, and then our headliner this year is the Young Dubliners again. So yeah, should be good. I don't have the final list of breweries, but last year we had 25 Alaskan breweries, also cidery and then Bear Creek Wine down in Homer. So we expect to have at least that many, and there are a few new breweries in the state that we're still looking at confirmation whether or not some of them are going to be able to participate this year.
That's a great number of breweries. I'm trying to remember how many we had that first year back. Well, this is like the 9th year for the festival, right?
Yes, this is the 9th year. The first year, I think we had 12, maybe.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So, and yeah, I mean, the festival has come a long way since that first year, and It's been fun to be the kind of the main driving force organizer over the last 9 years and just see how it's been embraced by the brewing community, and I can't say enough about how much they've done to make it successful and to get behind it. And then just the community in the Central Peninsula, it's such a great time to have the festival because it's in August, you know, it's right before school starts, kind of right before people get into all their fall activities like hunting and that sort. And then it's also right after, the main fishing push has happened. So it's kind of that shoulder season where in a way it seems like the weekend that our community gets our town back. So yeah, it's just been great.
The festival routinely sells out, right? You sell about 1,200 tickets total, something like that?
Yeah, that's what we're looking at. That's typically where we cap it. Any bigger than that, we'd have to look at doing things a little bit differently. Right now, with that kind of a size, it's doable for our Rotary Club to manage it without having to go too far outside of our club for looking for volunteers or hiring security, that type of thing. So, you know, that being said, it is the biggest fundraiser for the Rotary Club of Soldotna. And all those funds that we raise from the festival, we use for our local projects. So it's a good size as it is, and we're not looking at necessarily getting any bigger anytime soon. But yeah, it does sell out every year.
Speaking of the Rotary Clubs, I think your idea for it has been copied a couple of places around the state, right?
Yeah, it has. So there are two other Rotary beer festivals. One's the Capital Beer Festival down in Juneau. They started the year after we started ours. And then there's now the Rondi Beer Festival, which has been, I provided them a lot of information on how we run ours and how we set it up and kind of give them a blueprint. And they've definitely modified it and taken it on and done their own thing, you know, doing things a little bit different, which is nice. But the Rotarian in Anchorage who got the Rondi Beer Festival going is Adam Sikorsky, who's Merrill Sikorsky's son. So yeah, definitely a connection to the peninsula. And, you know, anything in my mind, anything that can promote craft brewing in Alaska and the appreciation of it and responsible appreciation of it is a worthwhile thing. And so if it benefits Rotary and helps with some of our projects around the state and internationally and especially locally, then it's a great thing.
Amen to that. So you also give out some awards at this, right?
Yeah. So every year we've done a couple of People's Choice Awards. So we have the People's Choice Brewery and the People's Choice Beer. And both of those are ones that are awards that people at the festival have ballots and they can vote for those. And you know, so it's not anything that's like a juried tasting or, you know, that sort of thing. It's more just what people that are there, what they want to place their vote as. So it's kind of a fun thing, and we try not to take it too seriously, but I know that all the breweries, you know, they have a little bit of friendly competitive nature. So yeah, it's been kind of fun because the last 4 years in a row there have been different out of town breweries that have won the People's Choice Beer, and that's been really fun to see, and some really good beers that have been awarded that. And then the seems like reigning champion for the People's Choice Brewery has been our own local Kenai River Brewing, and you know, they really dug, and the gang really step up at the beer festival, and they do some cool stuff. And I mean, one of the things that they do pretty much every year is on the hour, every hour, there's a new keg that's tapped. And so they have a lot of selection and you know, it's fun. That's, like I say, how we've seen the support from the breweries for the festival. It's been really a good thing.
Oh, the final thing we should mention, too, is there's going to be food there, right? You guys going to have a series of food trucks again?
Yeah, there is, and I'm kind of excited about the food this year. We've got a couple new ones, and it's obviously beer is the main emphasis, but of course, having a festival like this, having some food available is good. You can pair it the way that you would feel appropriate, and then just having some good eats. We've got so many good options for food trucks in the Central Peninsula these days with the different markets and festivals that happen we get some good options for some food there. And then of course, just trying to promote the responsible side of things. Of course, if you have some food while you're consuming your tastings, your samples, then a little better chance you're not going to get in trouble when you leave.
Yeah. If folks are interested in getting some tickets, where would they go about that?
So we've got the actual physical tickets printed. I am distributing them to the local breweries as we speak. So you should be able to get those at your local breweries today. And then there are also tickets available online at the website, which is www.kenaibeerfest.com. And I believe through our Facebook page, you can link to the website, and then it's a pretty easy ticket portal there.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us, Matt. Really appreciate it. Looking forward to seeing you at the festival here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Thanks, Bill. Thanks for the time, and we'll see you there. And yeah, anyone who hasn't been to the festival before, it's a great time to come out and enjoy some of our last days of summer before we move into fall. So Look forward to seeing you there.
Fingers crossed for good weather.
Yeah, always.
Okay, thank you so much, Matt. Appreciate it. And we'll be right back with our next segment here on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna.
Glen one Easter morn to City Fair Old Eye. Those armor lines of margin men in squadrons pass me by. No pipe did hum, no battle drum did sound its dread tattoo. But the Angelus bells or the Liffey swell rang out of the foggy dew.